Oh, yeah. So, page 73, prayer for the beginning of the teachings. So before I say the structure of the class, and next 4 days, or next 4.5 days, and how we are going to, you know, the activities during the classes. Before I say all those things, maybe better to start with the reading the prayers to Shakyamuni Buddha, and read this prayer with a strong feeling of the presence of the Buddha, historical Buddha, Gautama, in front of us, where the statue is, not in a form of statue, but as a real person with his all the great qualities, particularly his fully cultivated great compassion, loving kindness, and wisdom, and also we can imagine all those great teachers, past and the present, those great teachers that we have received teachings, instructions, and initiations directly or indirectly. Also here with all the great qualities. So create a atmosphere in front of us, or you know, including the Buddha and all those great teachers are present with their all the great qualities. And in front of the Buddha and all those great teachers, think from our heart very clearly and strongly. In general, entire my life, and in particular during this retreat, next 4.5 days, I'm going to spend my times, activities of the body, speech, and mind to enhance, to cultivate some of those helpful and useful mental states, such as concentration, loving kindness, and understanding of emptiness, in order to create the causes and conditions me to work for the sake of others, for their immediate well-beings, and also for their long-term needs. For that reason, I'm here to join this retreat. So have a clear and strong positive intention being here and to join the retreat. With that intention, now we'll read the prayers to Shakyamuni Buddha. This prayer has three main features. The first feature is recollecting the three jewels, Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. And the second feature, it reminds us the essence of the teachings of the Buddha. That is, if it is possible to have activities of supporting others' well-being, if that is difficult, minimum intentionally not harm others. And the third feature, it reminds us one of the essence of the teachings of the Buddha, that is remembering the nature of impermanence. And these three, recalling the three jewels, remembering the essence of the teachings of the Buddha, and remembering the nature of impermanence, something that follower of the teachings of the Buddha should be remember, reflect on every now and then. By doing it, give us a very clear perspective of nature of our lives, and also as a follower of the teachings of the Buddha, the manner of how we are going to conduct our day-to-day lives, our daily activities. So it is extremely helpful to reflect on these three features while we are reading this prayer. So we will read in English, although there's an option we can read in phonetic in Tibetan. We'll read in English. That is on page 73. To the Founder, the Endowed Transcendent Destroyer, the One Gone Beyond, the Third Destroyer, the Completely Perfect, Fully Awakened Being, Perfect in Knowledge and Good Conduct, Sugata, Lord of the World, Supreme God, Human Beings to be Tamed, Teacher of Gods and Human Beings, to You, the Completely and Fully Awakened One, the Endowed Transcendent Destroyer, the glorious conqueror, severe from shattered clime, are prostrate to make offerings in the cover of refuge. To the Founder, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the third destroyer, the completely, perfectly, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and good conduct, Sugata, the law of the world, supreme God of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, severe from shattered clime, our prostrate may offerings and offering each. To the founder, the endowed transcendent destroyer, the one gone beyond, the third destroyer, the completely, perfectly, fully awakened being, perfect in knowledge and good conduct, Sugata, know of the world, supreme guide of human beings to be tamed, teacher of gods and human beings, to you, the completely and fully awakened one, endowed transcendent destroyer, the glorious conqueror, the severe from the shattered clime, our prostrate make offerings to your God of age. When, O Supreme amongst humans, you are born on this earth, you paced out seven stones, and then said, I am supreme in this world. To you, the world is then, I prostrate. With the pure bodies, born supremely pure,
with emotions like a golden mountain,
the fame that blazes in the three worlds, when I know the best, Lord, to you I prostrate. With the supreme signs, face like spotless moon, color like gold, to you I prostrate. Dusty like you, the three worlds are not. Incomparably wise one, to you I prostrate. The Savior having great compassion, the Founder having all understanding, the field of merit with qualities like a vast ocean, to you the one gone to vastness, I prostrate. The purity that frees one from attachment, the virtue that frees one from the lower realms, the one path, the sublime pure reality, the Dharma that pacifies, I prostrate. Those who are liberated and those that show the path to liberation, the holy field qualified with realizations, who are devoted to the moral precepts, to you, the sublime community intending virtue, I prostrate. Homage to the Supreme Buddha, homage to the Dharma refuge, homage to the great Sangha, to all three ever devout homage. To all worthy of respect, I am with bodies as many as all realms and atoms in all aspects, the Supreme Faith might pay homage.
Do not commit any non-virtuous actions.
Perform only virtuous actions. Subdue your mind thoroughly. This is the teaching of the Buddha. A star of visual elaboration, a flame of the lamp, an illusion, drop of dew or a bubble, a dream, a flash of lightning, a comet, see conditioned things as such. Through these merits, many sentient beings attain the rank of all seeing, subdue forever faults, and be delivered from samsara's ocean, perturbed by the waves of aging, sickness, and death. So there's a Heart Sutra right after that prayer was read. I think that's a good one. We'll do that. We'll read the Heart Sutra, as you can see, right after the prayer that we read. For two reasons, we'll read this Heart Sutra. The first reason, you know, that it is one of the great teachings attributed to the historical Buddha according to the Mahayana traditions, and you know, therefore reading a sutra, which is, you know, the in front of the Buddha and all those great teachers, is something great thing to do. And the second reason is coming days, our main topic that we are going to read from the Tsongkhapa's text is on the subject, which is emptiness. And the Heart Sutra, or entire Perfectional Wisdom Sutra, Panchaparamita Sutras, the main topic, explicit main topic, is the same that the topic we are going to study, read, contemplate, reflect on in these coming days. So therefore, it is also extremely relevant to read this sutra. And while we are reading the sutra, as we have imagined, the historical Buddha Gautama is present in front of us, and all those great teachers. And, you know, imagine from the Buddha and all those great teachers in an aspect of multicolored lights, in a nature of their great compassion and wisdom, descending upon us and upon all living beings. And through that, all the difficulties, and particularly obstacles to enhance loving kindness, altruism, and wisdom, realizing emptiness, all those difficulties or obstacles are purified. And at the same time, imagine that we receive all the inspirations and blessings to actualize these profound understandings or realizations to benefit to ourselves, and through that being able to work for the sake of others in a more the effective way, in a more holistic way, in a more profound way, you know, particularly for their long-term benefits. So imagine that while we are reading the sutra, of course, people who are able to meditate on the nature of emptiness while we are reading the sutra, that's perfectly, you know, to do that. Otherwise, just hold that kind of visualization while we are reading the sutra. Oh, yeah. I prostrate to the eye of Triple Gem. Thus did I hear at one time the Bhagavan was dwelling on the most virtuous mountain in Rajagriha, together with great community of monks and a great community of bodhisattvas. At that time, the Bhagavan was absorbed in concentration on the categories of phenomena called profound perception. Also at that time, the bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayyavanavadisha looked upon the very practice of profound professional wisdom, and beheld our effects also as empty of man's nature. Then the truth of the power of Buddha, the Venerable Shariputra, said this to the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayyavanavadisha: how should any son of the lineage train who wishes to practice the activity of the profound professional wisdom? He said that the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayyavanavadisha said this to the Venerable Shariputra: Shariputra, any son of the lineage or daughter of the lineage who wishes to practice the activity of the profound perfection of wisdom should look on it like this, correctly and repeatedly behold it as also empty in her nature.
Form is empty, emptiness is form. Emptiness is not other than form. Form is also not other than emptiness. In the same way, feeling, discrimination, conversational factors, consciousness are empty. Shariputra, likewise, all phenomena are emptiness, without characteristics, unproduced, unceased, sameless, not without stain, not deficient, not fulfilled. Shariputra, therefore, in emptiness there is no form, no feeling, no discrimination, no conversational factors, no consciousness, no eye, no ear, no nose, no tongue, no body, no mind, no visual form, no sound, no odor, no taste, no object of touch, and no phenomenon. There is no eye element and soul up to and including no mind element and no mental consciousness element. There is no ignorance, no extension of ignorance, soul up to and including no aging and death and no extension of aging and death. Similarly, there is no suffering, origination, cessation, power. There is no exalted wisdom, no attainment, and also no non-attainment. Shariputra, therefore, because there is no attainment, bodhisattvas divine and dwell in perfection of wisdom, the mind without obscuration and without fear. Having completely passed beyond error, they reach the end point of nirvana. All the Buddhas who dwell in three times also manifestly, completely awakened, unsurpassable, perfect, complete enlightenment, in their lives on the perfection of wisdom. Therefore, in the mantra of the perfection of wisdom, the mantra of great knowledge, the unsurpassed mantra, the mantra equal to the unequaled, the mantra that thoroughly pacifies all suffering, should be known as truth, since it is not false. The mantra of the perfection of wisdom is declared. Dayata, Om Gate Gate Paragate Parasamgate Bodhisattva. Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva should train the profound perfection of wisdom like that. Then the Bhagavan rose from that concentration and commanded the Bodhisattva Mahasattva Ayavalokiteshvara, saying, Well said, son of an image, it is like that. One should practice the profound perfection of wisdom, just as you have indicated, even the Tathagatas rejoice. The Bhagavan, having thus spoken, the Venerable Shariputra, the Bodhisattva Mahasattva, Ayavalokiteshvara, and those surrounding in their entirety, along with the world of gods, humans, Asuras, and Gandhavas, are overjoyed and highly praised as spoken by the Bhagavan.
So first of all, I want to say thank you for coming to this retreat. Some of you have quite a long hour journey. And also thank you for the people who are working here, to organize this retreat. And it is great joy being here and to lead these 4.5 days classes. I was asked quite early time when the place was found and got it, but I was very much caught up in my samsaric life. And also, for other reasons, it took quite a long time to come here. But now I'm here, happy being here. Yes, you know, the, as Janet said, the FMT in UK have been, you know, has been looking for a retreat center quite some time, because we all noticed it is important to have a place to do retreat, because in the doing retreat in the city, although it is quite interesting but very challenging, and particularly when people need to do some, you know, month retreat, either associated with a deity commitment or, you know, some kind of want to cultivate like shamatha or some other meditation realizations, and city centers cannot provide that kind of facilities and, you know, things. And it was very clear, you know, quite early time when I joined, Jamyang 1991 and 1994, it is important to have a place to do that go and do retreat. People, not only, you know, the FMT, people who come to FMT centers, but also in general, you know, people who follow the teachings of the Buddha, and within that, you know, the people who follow Tsongkhapa's tradition, you know, the, although other centers, Buddhist center, and particularly Tibetan Buddhist center, may not say don't come if you're a follower of Tsongkhapa tradition, but doing a particularly deity retreat in another tradition, sometimes it causes difficulties. So all this together, you know, very in the early stage, I noticed we need a retreat center. But, you know, the, it didn't materialize until recently. And mainly Andy worked very hard to make that happen. And, of course, people, you know, give generosity and also work hard to place the, this place to become a proper, you know, a center, retreat center. So it is really great joy being here. Then the, I decided to lead this class, you know, the, when last year when I said, okay, I'm going to come to lead, to have a class at Land of Joy, I thought about what kind of subject that I'm going to do. And I thought several days, and eventually I decided to lead a, in a form of retreat, but also have some, you know, talk on the subject of emptiness. I don't want to make this place emptiness, but, you know, the, you know, the, to lead that subject for two reasons. The first reason was, you know, the, over the last few years, His Holiness the Dalai Lama have said several times to personally to me and also in the group, you know, the, from his experiences for long-term meditating on emptiness, he can confidently say his, you know, the, you know, the manifested or the obvious afflictions are definitely reduced. And he said that is mainly due to meditating on emptiness. So the, and he said, you know, the, try to, you know, lead classes on this subject, on emptiness. He said several times. So since then, you know, most of my classes are on this subject, reading different texts, but mainly the same topic on emptiness. And that is the one reason I thought, you know, the, coming here to on the, to have a class on this topic, emptiness. And the second reason, because I've been reading two different texts from Tsongkhapa on this subject. One is the essence of true eloquence. Some of you join that class either in London or in Bath or in Leeds. Slightly different in the pace. Some are a little bit quicker, some are a little slower, but we all have been trying to read that text, Tsongkhapa's Essence of True Eloquence, from the Madhyamika section. Although ideally it will be good to start from the Chittamadrana right at the beginning, but that might be too difficult. And I decided to read that from the Madhyamika section. So we are in the reading, all three places that I'm reading, we are in the right place, right section, where this topic, emptiness, is as a main topic to discuss, to read. And also I'm reading in Jamyang, London, down there, leading Tsongkhapa's this middling length Lamrim, the stages of the path to enlightenment, and reading the just finished Shamatha section, and starting to read the Vipassana or Insight section. So the combination of these two texts, although I'm not going to read page by page, the paragraph after paragraph, I'm going to select some part of the, mainly you're going to use the middling length Lamrim, briefly to go to Essence of True Eloquence, to look at a little bit, the complement each other, each other's Tsongkhapa's explanation, through that try to understand, have a better understanding or enhance the understanding of emptiness. So that's why I choose this text the topic that I choose and read it, mainly the Tsongkhapa's, those two texts, Essence of True Eloquence and mainly the middling Lamrim, the emptiness section. So that is the reason why I choose the topic. Now the nature of our class, there are four classes next 4 days, not including the morning before the breakfast session. There's a 45-minute session. After breakfast, there are 2 1.5-hour sessions, and afternoon, and evening, two classes after the lunch, again 1.5 hours. And the nature of that 1.5-hour class, half meditation, and half each session will run half meditation, and half me giving some the explanation. The morning sessions, in the morning the first session, the second session, always we start with the meditation. Those two morning sessions, meditation sessions, about 20 minutes, will focus on cultivation of a calm, clear, and focused mind, or if we say shamatha, single-pointed mind. So the morning two sessions of meditation, 20 minutes each at the beginning of the two sessions, will focus on enhancing or cultivating shamatha. In that, I will not lead that much. There isn't that much to lead. Many of you already know and have been doing, and I'm sure you have certain stage where you want to build on or want to cultivate further. After the meditation, then I will talk on the topic. the afternoon two sessions, and in fact, you know, not only during the sessions, but also, you know, during the post-meditation sessions, or while we are eating, walking, you know, all during the afternoon sessions, I would ask you one thing, one simple thing, not difficult, simple, might be quite creative one. That will be this. I want to ask you to search your eye. As simple as that. No, just to search your eye. And I will explain that tomorrow, how to do that. But that will be the afternoon meditation. Will be the searching your eye. Not this one, but eye. And that will be directly related, connected, the text that we are reading and the subject that we are going to discuss on emptiness. And I will talk how to do that, and I'm sure some of you have done that, and that will be very, very useful, you know, because we have about 4.5 days, we may see, we may experience a glimpse of how we, you know, perceive our eye. I, you know, that I'm here to do a retreat. I want to have an amazing experience. I want to catch that eye. You know, so that will be the afternoon meditation. During the meditation session, you know, the meditation in the sense of, again, afternoon, two sessions, I will begin with the silent meditation. During that, formally you can do the, you know, searching the eye. And also during the post-meditation, while you are doing karma yoga or whatever, during all those periods, I want you to gently, not forcefully, gently to search your eye, who is working or meditating or talking or whatever. That will be the subject of the meditation. I'm not going to ask you to do meditation on emptiness, but I want to ask you to do that. So that will be the afternoon meditation. And there will be also questions and answer session. You know, the not necessarily tomorrow. From day after tomorrow, when you build tension and whatever, then we'll have one of the afternoon session. We'll have period of question and answer session. Yeah. So that is the nature of the these 4.5 days our class. And as we, you know, the morning, the first session before the breakfast, mainly we are going to spend to setting our intention, how we are going to spend the day, and for what purpose that we are going to spend our day's activities, and with some short prayers. Also during the day, occasionally we'll say some mantras together. Yeah, mantras together. And the last sessions at the end of the day, you know, then we'll say the praises to 21 Tharas and some dedication prayers. So that is the structure. That is the structure or the what we are going to do during these 4.5 days. Any question you want to ask? That's a good sign. So if you don't have any question, that's a good sign. Oh yeah. So then now what you're going to do, now, you know, really formally to start the session, you know, prior to this, other more preparation, and start the session. I'm going to read a little bit from the text, about 15 minutes, Then we'll do a short silent meditation, and then we'll end. We're going to end 8:30. Then we'll end saying the praises to 21 Taras and short dedication. So this, I will read a little bit the text. And the text that I'm, the translation that I've got, there are two or three different translations. The translation that I have got here is, it is not new translation, it is relatively old translation, but it has a little bit of review or sort of have updated a little bit by the Thurman. And it is this text is, Tsongkhapa's insight section from a group of Tsongkhapa's texts published by the Tibetan Archive and Library, and that's the translation I'm reading. I thought I have asked you, don't you haven't got it?
We got different translation.
We got different translation.
Hopkins
one.
But I don't think we can get that one.
It doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. but I'm Hopkins one. I may have Hopkins one here. I will check. I've got two translations.
The center can print it.
Sorry?
The center can print it for you if necessary.
Okay, so that's also fine, yeah.
Also, Krishna, we've got a spare copy.
You've got a spare copy. Oh, then give me the spare copy. I will pay you for that.
Generosity.
What?
Generosity model.
Okay. Okay, then I don't need today, but you give me this after the class, yeah? I don't need now. This one is really at the beginning of the Tsongkhapa's this section. Sometimes people use saying emptiness section. It is the section where Tsongkhapa, Che Tsongkhapa, explains the sixth perfection, perfection of generosity to the perfection of wisdom. When the practitioners have cultivated bodhicitta, the mind of enlightenment, and they, after the cultivation of bodhicitta, and classically, what kind of activities they should involve, to reach out living beings, and the activities are here called the six perfections. So, Jasankhapa very clearly and very nicely, last two perfections, the perfection of concentration and the perfection of wisdom, these two perfections are explained. Connection with the fifth perfection is explained, connection with the cultivation of shamatha, the single-pointed mind. And the sixth perfection, perfection of wisdom, is explained with the cultivation of vipassana or insight. So, in certain extents, the section that we are reading, insight section, is part of the bodhisattva's deeds. When you have cultivated bodhicitta, and after the cultivation of bodhicitta, when you start to engage in working with the well-beings of others, what are the activities that bodhisattvas or he or she should train his or her minds for the further, the development, further enhancement for the bodhicitta to fulfill the aims or the goal of the bodhicitta, that is, working for the sake of others. So this section is also part of that. So I think that's quite important to remember the section that we are reading. And it similar to the section where Jesongkhapa explains, you know, the fifth perfection of concentration, where he explains shamatha. There he explains, saying in Tibetan, shineji tsokdenpa, in Tibetan, shineji tsokdenpa. And it is quite often translated in English, saying the, you know, the prerequisites, or, you know, the prerequisite or the favorable conditions, you know, for the cultivation of shamatha. And it is also exactly same fashion he explained in here. In here, he says, Fakdongji Tsokdenpa. Fakdongji Tsokdenpa. And this evening, I'll just briefly read this one, you know, the, saying the. Prerequisite for cultivation of insight. Now here again, briefly to remind ourselves, insight or vipassana, you know, the thakdong in Tibetan, thakdong. Literally in Tibetan, those two syllables, Phakbar Tongwa, means seeing more. That's a literal translation. Seeing more, or seeing further, or realizing further. That is the really literal translation. Phakdong, Phakba, more or further, Tongwa, seeing or realizing. Phakdong. At the end of the shamatha section, Jesongkhapa made a nice explanation when he is moving to this section. He said, after the cultivation of shamatha, what you are going to do with that mind, you know, the mind of shamatha, mind of single-pointed mind, what you are going to do with that? Then he said that there are two things that you can do. The first thing, literally, that says, you know, the jigdenbe fakdong. You can cultivate, you know, the literal translation, worldly insight. Worldly insight. I will explain that. Then he said, or you can cultivate, you know, the super mundane, you know, the insight. Also, I will explain what does that mean. Worldly insight is referring to those practitioners who have cultivated shamatha. That means he or she has a tremendous sense of relaxation, single-pointed mind, you know, tremendous sense of bliss due to that kind of relaxation, due to single-pointed mind, due to that calm and clarity, then he or she may move to cultivate further calmness, further clarity. And that is done through comparing what he or she has achieved so far, that shamatha. Then seeing, you know, that there are further calmness mind can be achieved, can be experienced. Comparing those two, then try to achieve further calmness. And that is, you know, the samadhi in Sanskrit, or in English quite often translated concentration. First concentration, second concentration, third and fourth. These mental states are much, much calmer in the sense of conceptualizations, in the sense of all those, you know, the discursive, much, much calmer than the person who have achieved shamatha. That mind is person who have achieved, who has achieved shamatha. You know, his or her mind is no doubt compared to our minds, very, 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 very calm. Not disturbed by those conceptualizations and so on and so forth. But compared to the first concentration, his or her mind is grosser. So that kind of the person who is looking for more calmer mental states to what he or she has achieved, that kind of comparison when he or she is doing, there is an element of analysis. There's an element of analysis. Analyzing the present mental state, although it's very calm, but compared to the first stage of the concentration, it is not very calm. The first stage of concentration is much calmer. Then through that, try to cultivate the first stage of the concentration. That type of, you know, the meditation is called worldly insight meditation. It is called worldly insight meditation. It is not that kind of insight is not tackling direct to the root of samsara. It is simply trying to achieve another stage of worldly mind. Although it is amazing mind, but it's still a worldly mind. The first stage of the concentration, the second, third, fourth, or even if you go further, sixth, seventh, or eighth, they all are worldly mind. And that's why that kind of shamatha, seeking insight, is called worldly insight. Now the second one, here Jetsongkhapa has super mundane insight, which is now that our topic is related. And there what Jetsongkhapa said, he pointed out, you know, insight or the meditation, insight meditation on 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths. Insight meditation on 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths. That meditation is called super mundane insight meditation. I'm not going to count all the 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths, but it is important. It is important to remember, to put in a picture where we are, the text that we are reading, the section. That's what Jetsongkhapa said, 16. And within the 16 aspects of the Four Noble Truths, you know, the subject that we are going to read is one of the first four aspects of the first noble truth of dukkha. And the noble truth of dukkha is can be understood, can be realized with these four aspects: impermanence, dukkha, suffering, selflessness, and emptiness. Simply put in that way, there are a little bit, you know, slightly different wording, you know, but that is the four noble, first four aspects of the four noble, first noble truth of dukkha. And here is the selflessness that we are looking at. Out of the four aspects, the third aspect, which is called selflessness. So that's where we are here, where we are here. To cultivate insight or vipassana, you know, this term which very, very loosely used in the vipassana. Here, the vipassana, although other type, there are many other types of vipassana, we are not saying those are not vipassana meditation, but in here, in this part, where Jesongkhapa is explaining relation to the sixth perfection, perfection of wisdom, here the vipassana meditation should be meditation on selflessness. That is the, you know, now where we are. Now, prerequisite or favorable condition that we should create, that we should collect, or that we should create us to do the meditation on selflessness. You know, at the moment I'm going to use that term, selflessness, you know, anatma, selflessness, dhamme in Tibetan. Jesongkhapa has explained two sort of prerequisites, conditions, or the, you know, two favorable conditions. And today what I'm going to do, most of our next 4 days, we are going to spend mainly on the second one. That second one is most important. When we got the second prerequisite, you know, favorable condition to cultivate insight, cultivating insight itself is not that difficult. The difficult comes first. You know, when you say meditate on vipassana, vipassana meditation, we have to have a topic to do that vipassana meditation. Without a topic, you know, there isn't such as vipassana meditation. So to have the topic to do the vipassana meditation, or to do the, in this case, insight meditation, this second here Jesongkhapa put as a, you know, the important prerequisite section is very, very important part. So that's what we are going to spend most of our time during this retreat. Now the first one, I'll just briefly touch on, I will not go any detail in here. Jesongkhapa had give us a little bit, you know, first of all, he explains it is important to have that kind of what's called the time and enthusiasm to listen, to contemplate, you know, those texts which are, you know, explaining the emptiness. And that's what the first part of this text, what he explained as a prerequisite. The second part here, he explains that those texts, you know, there are many scriptures, there are many texts. Those texts that you are going to study, that you are going to read, then that you are going to contemplate, what is said in the text, those texts should be some kind of, you know, texts which are, you know, technical term here, definitive texts in the sense of texts which are written by, like masters like Nagarjuna, you know. And that's what first part of the prerequisites that what he had explained. And that we are doing it. We are reading not directly the Nagarjuna and Aridev texts, but we are reading, you know, Jesongkhapa's text and other texts which explaining the Nagarjuna and Nagarjuna and Aridev's texts. And that is something quite useful to remember. Then Jesongkhapa explained here in a little bit of background of the you know, this, those masters, those great Indian masters, those great Indian masters, Madhyamika masters, you know, middle way school masters, who are important for the, you know, the for the cultivation, for the, you know, development of this development of the teachings on emptiness, teachings on emptiness. And there he explained Nagarjuna, Aradev, Bhavabhika, Buddha Palita, Chandakirti, Shankarakshita. He explained those masters. Give us briefly some of those great important teachers, Indian teachers, who have developed, you know, the teachings on this topic. And then he gave us a sort of, among those great Indian masters, Nagarjuna and Aryadev are the two most important masters, even within the great Indian Madhyamika masters. Those are the two, you know, the two great masters. And those are the something he gave us like a background for us to understand. And I think it is quite useful to mentioning these masters' texts, these masters, because, you know, ideally, you know, we have time, we have facilities, we have energy to read some of these Indian masters' texts. Although, you know, it might be very tough, maybe difficult, but that would be ideal, being able to do that. And then he, Jetsongkhapa, went through to explain, you know, that in Tibet, before the first, you know, the before the early, you know, stage when the Buddhism is developed, what kind of Madhyamika schools' view of emptiness, and how those earlier Tibetan Buddhist masters, you know, the, had understood Madhyamika schools, you know, the view of emptiness. And also he compared that, you know, the, in this here, compared that after the, you know, the sometimes the term is used, second dissemination, you know, the around the 9th and 10th century, there was a period, you know, the Buddhism was quite, you know, completely more or less, you know, the, wiped out from Tibet, then restarted again. And this, that later, you know, particularly that those Kadamba masters like Atisha, and how they, you know, see the Indian masters, some of those Indian masters, Madhyamika's teachings, and that's what he shows us the background. And then he sets his own, you know, his own sort of choice. You know, among those several different masters, great Indian masters, whom he is going to follow his explanation of emptiness in this text, and that's what he, you know, the like the brief background of you know, the, that's what he's first what he called, you know, the prerequisite. General prerequisite to cultivate shamatha, and so that is you know, the first part. So I will not read any further here, and not that important, but useful to remember that you know, the, some of the background, and then we will know the richness of the teaching that we are reading. Okay, I'm not going to say any blah blah anymore. I said we were going to do a meditation. Now it's almost 8:30. So instead of meditation, shall we now say the praises to 21 powers? Is there anybody who can lead in English chanting? Or this I'm sure you have here. Is, yeah, page 189. Is it a chantable one or not?
Yes, it is chantable.
It's chantable one, yeah? Okay, page 192. Page 192. So then we are going to chant in English. That's on page 192. Maybe different. So there are.
No, 192.
Yeah, 192. Okay. Who's going to lead? Okay. Andy's going to lead, so we are going to chant in English.
Oh, my prostrate to the noble transcendent liberator. Homage Taras with heroic eyes like lightning instantaneous, sprang from opening stamens of the Lord of Three Worlds, tear-born lotus. Homage she whose face combines a 100 autumn moons at fullest, blazing with light rays resplendent as a 1,000 star collection. Homage golden blue one lotus, water born in hand adorned, giving effort, calm austerities, patience, meditation, her sphere. Homage crown of Tata Gattas, actions triumph without limit, relied on by conqueror's children, having reached every perfection. Homage filling with Tutare, whom desire direction and space, juggling with her feet the seven worlds, able to draw forth all beings. Homage worshipped by the All-Lord, Chakra Agni Brahma Marut, honored by the hosts of spirits, Gosvesas, Gandhavas, Yakshas. Homage with a train pay sounds, destroying force magic diagrams, happy pressing left out right in, blazing in a raging fireblaze. Homage to a very dreadful, destroyer of Mara's champions, she with frowning lotus visage, who is slayer of all enemies. Homage at her heart, her fingers, adorn her with three jewel mudra. Like great masses, all excited, all directions with adorn her. Homage, she's so joyous, radiant, crown emitting gallons of light, mirthful laughing with Tutare, subjugating Mara's devas. Homage, she able to summon all the guardians assembly, shaking, frowning with her hung sun, saving from every misfortune. Homage crowned with a dozen moon, all ornaments most shining, Amitabha in her hand, sending out much light eternal. Homage she meets with the blaze like eon ending fire abiding, righteousness and joy surrounds you, troops of enemies destroying. Homage she who strikes the ground with her palm and with her foot beats him, smiling with the letter hunger, seven levels she does conquer. Homage happy, virtuous, peaceful, she who's filled his peace nirvana, she endowed with omen soha, destroyer of the great evil. Homage she rejoices around her, tearing both bodies asunder, freezing hunger, knowledge mantra, arrangement of the ten letters. Homage to Re with seed letter, of the shape of syllable, whom by foot stamping shakes the three worlds, Meru, Mandara, and Vindhya. Homage holding in her hand the hermock moon of Deva Lakeful, with twice spoken Tara and Pei, totally dispelling poison. Homage she whom gods and their kings and the Kinara to honor, armored in all joyful splendor, she dispels by dreams and conflicts. Homage she whose two eyes bright with radiance of sun and full moon, with twice higher and to tare, she dispels every contagion. Homage full of liberating power by the set of three natures, destroys hosts of spirits yakshas, and this god's his supreme Ture. These praises with the rude mantras and prostrations, thus are 21.
Thank you. Now the dedication. First we'll say the Chantrup Semtuk in Tibetan. Then page 273, people who don't know His Holiness short long prayer. That is on page 273. And Lama Sogyal Rinpoche's Long Life Prayer, page 279. So those two Long Life Prayers. First we'll say a dedication for enhancing bodhicitta.
Chanjo Sancho
should admit that third line, the Bong Mali Chumsa, because that will, if we say that, then it will struggle our chanting. It's four line chanting. So this time we will say in Tibetan.
Yeah.
See you tomorrow morning. Have a good sleep.